So, as you can see, we are doing things a little bit differently this morning. We are continuing our series called The New Normal. This pandemic has changed everything. How we do church, how we do life, how we do everything. And so we are talking about how has it changed? What changes has it made? And this morning, we want to talk about fathers, because how we parent, and particularly how we father, has changed, and what does God have to say, and is there anything we can learn from him? And so Darren and I are having a chat, as we did with Mother's Day. We had someone speak that has way more experience being a mother than I do. And so today, we got someone who's got way more experience being a dad. Not that's not an old joke, by the way. That's just It's just staying the obvious. So Darren and I are just gonna have a chat, and as a young father talking to an older father, or however this goes, it's not really scripted, so it goes where it goes. But I wanted to start off today, and you guys can, everyone watching online, you can get ready for this first question. What's a lasting memory you have of your dad? What is something that stands out? When you think about your dad, what is something that stands out to you? I'll start off with you. What do you think of?
It's interesting because anyone who knows me knows my father passed a long time ago. And so when I was thinking about this and honoring my father and stuff that he has done, I realized that a lot of the things that I've lived my life rules by, that he was the author of them. How I wanted to present myself as a man, he taught me a lot of the rules, as in to be trustworthy, to be honorable, to be someone who's like, never not pay a bill, because that gets around town. I remember him telling me that all the time, never don't pay your bills, because everyone will learn. It's these little rules that we don't realize. When we're hearing them, we're thinking, I remember being a teenager going, yeah, whatever. But these are the things that I've actually lived my life around and shaped the way I lived. It was because of these little pieces of wisdom. And I think that kind of speaks to what we're to do as fathers, is to help put in some of those rules for how to live with our children. So that was one of the things that struck me. And I didn't realize until he was long gone, how many things, how much wisdom he laid down for my life.
Yeah, as I was thinking about it, I just know that growing up, again, another one of these things that we don't really appreciate it when we're growing up, but now as an adult, I appreciate this fact that my dad always knew I could do better, and that was the most frustrating thing, is that if I had half-heartedly done something, he always knew it, and it frustrated me that he knew it, because he just expected excellence of us. And it's awesome, and I see that as I read through Scripture, that God expects the same thing of us, that he just wants us to be the best we can be, to live up to our full potential, that even when we are, he doesn't want us to hold back. He wants us to live life to the full, and so, I got that from my dad. It's just to always never hold anything back, no regrets, right? No. That's kind of what it comes down to, no regrets. And so that's the one thing that always stands out to me. But we're going to throw it out to you guys watching online. What is one thing that stands out when you think about your dad? What is a lasting memory or impression that he made on you? So I'll give you a few minutes to talk about that.
One of the things I always found out too is, as I became a father, we often will look at what our father did, and we're human, so we have a tendency, we do things right, we do things wrong. And I remember thinking, well, I'll never do what my father did in this area with my children. And then yet, there's lots of things that I know after the fact, because you have this wonderful feeling as a father that you all of a sudden, you hear your father coming out of your own mouth when you're talking to your children. And it's annoying, but it's actually the truth. And so one thing that we that stands out for me is that we don't often give it credit to our fathers and how much wisdom they did relay on to us. But then also, they even when they made mistakes, they were still laying the foundations of wisdom, because there was things that I thought, oh, I won't do that. Mm-hmm. And it was not because Dad didn't love me. It wasn't that he was a horrible father or anything like that. It was the fact that we're human and we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so even in those mistakes, I was learning. So that was sort of, and that ties back to Scripture so much for me, because we are often so judgmental of ourselves as fathers, and we think, oh, I remember having Brett for the first time, seeing this little baby and holding him in the ICU and going, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, who said I'm qualified for this little person and to raise him? And it's so interesting now, as a man coming to faith, there's so much information that we have gained from our fathers, mm-hmm. but there's so much that we can also do from the Father mm-hmm. with these children. Mm-hmm. And it's our job as dads to lay that wisdom out yeah. for our kids.
I think I want to pick up that whole idea, that first time when you get that little one, and you get, like, I remember getting, when Taya, it was just like, okay, where's the manual? And whoever thought this was a good idea to give me this small child and entrust me with seeing her become all that God had for her. And of course, then you figure out the first one and you figure you're an expert, you're a pro. And then the second one comes and they're completely different. And all along, I remember with Tay sitting back and she would do something and God would use that moment to be like, okay, now think of the relationship between you and me. Mm-hmm. And I had so much more understanding of, like, God's relationship and his patience and his love, because it's like, how many times did I tell you not to do that? And then take a step back and be like, okay, how many times has God said that to me? How many times did I tell you to stop doing that? How many times? And so, Father had just showed me so much about God, really. Mm-hmm. And I guess, and that was one of the cool things about getting ready for this morning, was as we read through Scripture, and there's hundreds of scriptures that we could pull up for this talk, but the big thing, just how God is our ultimate example, how God just continually reminds us of what it is to be a good dad, and I always struck by, like, how he cares for us, how his forgiveness is without qualification. You know, it's been cool.
Well, and one of the pieces that you and I had shared about was the parable of the lost son. And we sometimes think we should apply that to our own lives, but it actually is, for me, the description of how God the Father views us more than the mistakes that we make in our own fatherhood. Yes, we love our children, and yes, they'll do things that drives us nuts, like what the parable talks about, the son leaving and wasting his inheritance. And that wasting of inheritance, that to me is kind of the warning in this piece of Scripture, that we as humans have this inheritance from God the Father. And it is our nature to waste our inheritance. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to his grace and his love when it talks about him coming back and how the Father in the parable welcomed him back with open arms and love, and the fattened calf. He was going to give him back everything he had, everything of value. And this son was not deserving. And so when we're talking about fathers, me being a father, that's how I feel. I feel so undeserving most days. But that's the example we can lay down to our children, is that, you know what? We in our humanness, we've wasted our inheritance in lots of ways. But it's about the fact that God is standing there waiting to take us back in and take what we've done and wipe it clean, so that he can show his love and his grace and welcome us back. And I think it just speaks to us as fathers to understand that, yes, we are fathers, but we're children first. We're children of God first. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're supposed to teach our own children.
When we talk about inheritance, it's funny. So I'm looking through all the scripture I put up, and the one scripture that I don't have up is the one I want to talk about, the Romans 8, right? How God has given us the spirit of adoption. And like when we talk about inheritance from God, his Holy Spirit in us is the biggest thing, the biggest inheritance that we get. And frankly, I think it's one of the things that we don't use. We underutilize. We don't take advantage of all that God has poured out in us. The power, the wisdom, the presence, the purpose, like everything that God has poured into us, that awesome inheritance. And yet so often we live lives that are not powerful, not purposeful, not like just accidental, like just waiting for life to happen to us instead of actually living life the way that God's Spirit wants us to live life. And so, that whole spirit of adoption and that we as sons are led, we're sons of God when we're led by the Spirit, that the whole Romans 8, that was just...
Mm-hmm. Well, it talks about, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. So it's talking about we're equipped already. Our inheritance is there already. And for those who do not receive the spirit of... We didn't receive the spirit of slavery, it goes on to say. So we fall back into fear. And as fathers, trust me, fathers may seem confident. They may seem the wisdom. They may... But they are... I can speak from many, many instances. It's out of fear that we take this job on, and it's through the Spirit of the Holy, like if we actually follow God's word, we are equipped for this job as fathers, but we're equipped because we are inheriting as sons God's power. And so we have to invite the Spirit in to allow us to become the fathers we need to be, mm-hmm. to change this world and change our family's lives.
Mm-hmm. And it's so like as we go through the scriptures, like when it comes to like fatherhood, like I hope this is a good example. Like Deuteronomy 1, it shows how, so you saw in the wilderness how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all along the way you travel until you reach this place. Every time it talks about how we're supposed to be good fathers and how, or any instruction about being a father, always comes back to this is how God is the example. God is the ultimate like father, and it just puts more onus on the importance of being in prayer and being in his word, because God sets the ultimate example for us. Like God is the perfect father. He is loving, he is caring, he instructs us, he disciplines us. It says all throughout scripture how God disciplines the one that he loves. Proverbs 13:24, the one who will not use a rod hates his son, but the one who loves him with dignity, lives him with discipline, loves him, disciplines him diligently. Deuteronomy, again, Deuteronomy is so good. If you don't read Deuteronomy, you're really missing out. But Deuteronomy, keep in mind, the Lord your God has been disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Like, he is, and so, I think when it comes to like discipline, when we come to discipline our own kids, we have to take that in mind and be like, okay, how does God discipline me? What is God's approach? And I know, and I think we say this all the time, but whether or not we actually like acknowledge it, is the fact that God, we have to discipline our own kids differently, and God disciplines each one of us differently, right? It's not the cookie cutter approach.
Yep. That's so interesting, because I'm going to throw my own kids under the bus here. Apologies, kids. But I remember once, every kid is different. Doesn't matter. They all come with their own unique set of qualities and personalities. And my oldest was very sure of himself. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he, and he just, no one could convince him. couldn't even convince him to come out of the womb in time. We had to rip him out. So my second child, Cole, he loved to try to get away with things. And one day I overheard Brett and Cole talking, because I had asked Cole what he had done. And Brett turned to Cole and said, "Cole, if Dad's asking you, he already knows the answer. And he's just waiting to see what you say." And that's how God the Father works as well. He already knows the answers. He already knows what you're going to do. But he wants us to live a life with that knowledge that he knows already. So, you know what? He's given us the example. It says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children in Ephesians. Be imitators of him. And that's what he wants. Because he already knows what our intentions are. He knows our humanity. But he wants to give us a chance to be more.
So I think I'll go on to the second question so I get everyone online to participate. When you think about God as your father, what comes to mind? What is the thing that comes to your mind when you think of having a heavenly father? And we'll let you take a few minutes to answer. We've kind of been talking about it a little bit already, yeah. But
well, it's interesting to think of God the Father and not compare Darren the Father, and walk through that whole process, and understand our shortcomings. But it's the love side of what God displays for us that has impaction on me. I know my own kids, they mess up, and I apologize again to them for talking about stories, but they messed up. Every kid messes up. Yeah. Doesn't change my love for my children. Right. And that's what stands out for me for God the Father. It doesn't matter what I've done as a rotten little child of his at times, yeah. And how he still loves us in such a way that it doesn't matter what we've done. He is so ready to wipe the slate clean and so ready to welcome us back, but also so ready to love on us again, tell us again that we've made a mistake, and discipline us because he loves us, but doing it all out of that. And I mean, it's very similar, it's very similar to what I experienced as a father, but to an example or an nth degree that I have no understanding of, because he does that for all of us, whether we've accepted him or not.
Well, I think one of the cool things about the idea that God is our father is, we prayed this morning, we talked about how so many people have had really, haven't had great fatherly experiences, right? They haven't had dad there, or dad had his, I mean, we all dads have their issues, right? But like some are just, except like just more, and how God is the perfect fill-in, and he just comes into that and he reminds us of what being a good dad is, and he can be the good dad for all of us in our time of need or if we need that. But I think the other thing that has always been impressed on me over is how quickly as dads we can almost change our kids' perspective of God too, because we teach them right out of the gate, God is your father, and so they look at us as fathers and be like, oh well, God's like you, and no, please don't read that into your relationship with God, because I make mistakes, I'm trying here. But anyways, that's what if and I guess for anyone who's listening, if you had bad experience with your dad, really push into God, because God is the perfect father and he will heal all those wounds. He will make all things right. And it's.
Well, for me, as someone who came to faith later in life, that's one of the things that you can't help but look back and wonder, what if I had come to faith earlier? What if I had placed a stronger relationship with God in my children's lives? What would that have changed, and what has that done? But also realize that God doesn't limit us. I mean, I'm still the example to my children. They've seen how God has affected my life, how it's changed my life. And they've seen the benefits of what the transformation in me has been. So that's one thing for us older dads who kids have moved out and stuff to realize is that we're not done. There is a lot of people in this world that need dads. They need fathers and father-like figures to help pour into their lives and to be an example, whether you're a father, a grandfather, or have no children at all, that you have a responsibility and a job to do, because that's what God the Father, he never lets off. Right. So as if we're imitators of God, we are to never let off.
And it's funny how you're talking about pouring in. And one of the things as we're preparing, or as preparing and going through some scripture, one of the major things that we as dads, or that scripture tells us as dads, and what God does for us is instruct, is to set the bar, set them on their way, the way that they should go, right? As Proverbs and Psalms says, set a kid on the way that he will go, and he will stay that path for his life. And I think this has become, that whole idea of us instructing has become paramount, especially in like this COVID quarantine, because we as a church haven't been able to do kids ministry. We as a church haven't been able to do youth ministry. And so the options are either our kids don't get instructed, they don't learn, or we as parents, and particularly us as dads, have to step up and start filling in that gap and start being the, one of my mentors said, we have to be the priest of our home. We have to be the spiritual teacher. And in full disclosure, I have not been great at that. I have been, I mean, with the church and with closure, like lots of things on my plate. And every once in a while, I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta teach my kids something about prayer. I gotta teach my kids. And I pray that COVID has reminded us as dads how influential we are in our kids' lives, how much we need to be pouring and teaching and setting an example of prayer. And I mean, I could just go on and on, but
that's maybe one of the blessings of what's going on in the world right now, is that we may not have the relationship with the greater world as close as it once was. There's the barriers, there's the distance that has happened. But it's allowed us as fathers to be in our homes more and to be in relationship with our children, our families more. Like we may not be at work right now. Maybe we're working from home. But us as guys, we don't necessarily do that. We don't define ourselves as fathers. We define ourselves in lots of ways in this world. We define us by what we do, what we have, what we've experienced. Mm-hmm. But lots of times, father's down the list.
Right.
And now in this time of COVID, that's one of the things that we have. Like maybe this is where God's hand is in there, and he's like, okay, you're back. You're inserted back into the family. You are inserted. This is priority one for me. Is your household, your family, your children. And maybe that is the blessing and the challenge to us as fathers,
yeah,
is to be that person that he calls us to be in our house.
And kind of on that note, I laugh because even as we were talking about being at home, I've talked to so many dads who have been at home with their kid more than maybe they have in the past, and they're like, my kid drives me crazy. Okay, well, you have opportunity to speak into the craziness, and because if he's driving you crazy for the last little while because you're stuck at home with him, he's been driving everyone else crazy for a long time. And you now have the opportunity to course correct a little bit and be really intentional in that, because you as the dad, you can correct the crazy. That you can hashtag that, correct the crazy. That would be good.
There is a warning to that, though, in Colossians 3:21.
Right.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they become discouraged.
Right.
So there's the warning. There's the other side, because you know what? we as dads, sometimes we come in with an authoritative view of the world and display that to our children. But this is one of the things that, yes, I agree, we need to help be more part of our family and more into our children's lives so that we can teach and learn. Mm-hmm. But we also aren't instructed to be not like the Father and come in and lay the rules down without the love.
Right. Yep.
The love and the teaching. So that's, and I defaulted to the rules. I was like, this, I hated that saying because I said so. Why? Because I said so. That's what we do. And if I said and explained it to them, I didn't have the pushback that I did all the time.
Right.
But this is also a time for growing for us men.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that brings us to our third question. So everyone watching online, how has COVID-19 changed the idea of being a father? Like, how has that redefined it for our culture? And again, Darren and I have talked about that a little bit. But you guys engage online. How has being quarantined and being with your kids more changed the way that you father? And we'll give you a couple minutes to answer that. And then we're going to move into a question time. So if you guys have questions this morning, post them in the comment section, all capitals, so that we see it. I've got Facebook open here, so I'll see it, and I'll read the question, and then for better or for worse, Darren and I'll answer it on the spot. So
yes.
God give us wisdom. That's all I'm going to say about that one. But any closing thoughts as we get ready for the questions that are going to come?
For me, it's, I in no way want to pretend that being a father is easy or isn't something that is challenging, but the one thing I really want to emphasize is we have an entire book that helps us do that. Matt went through all the references to father in the system, and literally there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of descriptions of and help for being a father. And lots of us need lots of help. So if you're struggling, there's the place to turn to.
Yeah, and I kind of go with that. It's being a dad's not easy, but nothing worth doing is. And yep. I think being a father is totally worth it. And if you're, maybe you're not a dad and you're thinking about it, don't let our, like, talking about being a good dad and instructing and disciplining and all this, like, discourage you. Like, being a dad is the most worthwhile thing in the world next to being a Christ follower. Like, those two things are right up there. But it's tough, and you don't always get it right. But I've heard lots of speakers. I've seen lots of preachers talking. We've got into this culture where we are so scared to say anything or do anything because we don't want to do it wrong. But the reality is we just got to do it. You just got to be a dad. And if you make mistakes, be upfront with your kid and be like, I made a mistake. Like, I handled this really poorly. Let's figure out a better way to do it. And that helps your kid grow just as much because it sees the strength to be transparent and to grow. And it creates space for God to come in and help you grow in those mistakes. And nobody does it perfectly. I know I don't.
There's only one guy that does it perfectly.
That's true.
And that's the thing that I always try to hold, is that it doesn't matter what we attempt and fail, or we attempt and do good, we have a perfect Father,
mm-hmm.
and who loves us to the point where he'll teach us, where he'll discipline us, but he also will forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
And without that knowledge, being a father is really tough.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to realize that we have the best example ever. It doesn't get any better. And so we can go ahead and be us, but we have to actually put in the time and actually, you know what? I'm on the next stage. I'm got a grandchild, and I am starting to see the fruits of my teaching. And it's not perfect by any means, but there is a reason. Like, Father is a name applied to ancestry. We are the ancestors. We are the children of the people that came before us and God the Father. So remember, what you're doing is important enough to be part of history. And it will carry on.
That's good. I think also the other thing to remember is that God as our Father creates space for us to fail. Like, he doesn't like write us off. When we let him down, he doesn't write us off. And when we are willing to be open to God about our failure, and we're being willing to open up to our kids when we fail as dads, then we also have to create the space for our kids to fail. Because it's not through being perfect kids that they grow, it's through the failures and the bumps and the bruises that they get stronger and better. And I think for me, so often, I don't create enough space for my kids. Like, I know my kids are gonna, you know, they're just gonna be kids, and that's okay. But I don't create enough space for them to be kids. And especially in this quarantine time, that has really shown me that a lot. So,
and to remember, we are children of God first. So we're kids too.
Yeah.
And we're going to be acting like kids at times when God the Father is going, hey, okay, I've given you space still. You're just a kid.
Yeah.
But come back to me and I'll help you. And it's kind of how when you have little ones, that's what we do all the time. Go ahead. Sometimes they learn because they listen to us. Sometimes they learn because they have to hit their head against the wall to see that the wall is real.
Right.
And God the Father does the same thing for us.
Yeah. Okay. Question time. I haven't seen anything in the comments yet, but are there any questions that you guys... You know, we've clearly shown that we're experts when it comes to being dads, so.
Yeah.
Fire away. What? I got nothing right now. We must be doing a good job. Yeah, nothing. We're good.
So glad you're eating that mic. Just so everyone knows, that's his wife's mic. So
yes,
just in case.
We're being very COVID friendly right now, okay? I am not. My head mic is causing me issues. We need a new one. So.
Yeah, and honestly, I remember my dad wasn't there for all of my children's lives. As they were little. And so I relied on the wisdom that he passed down before. So that is one thing that I always think about when approaching fatherhood. And you know what? The wisdom's there. We just have to draw on it.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead, Tim. Tim is asking, when should we kick the kids out of the house? I left right out of high school. Like, I stuck around for summer, but mom and dad didn't show me the door, but they kind of hinted where it was. Like, they really pushed college, and so I'm always a big, anyways, I know that's not a popular view in today's day, but anyways, Grandpa Darren, maybe you got some more.
Well, I must say I was impressed by how my parents handled that. I got luggage for my graduation, and...
I did too.
Uh-huh. And on the Monday morning after my grad, I woke up to my mother sitting at the table doing some figuring. And I walked in and said, what are you figuring? She goes, your rent. And I said, okay, I'll be out by the end of the month. So, yes, I think, honestly, when it comes to your children, if you equip them, they will actually know when it's time. But the thing is, a father, this is like our father, you got to be ready for them to come back.
Yeah.
So I was 18 years old, if that helps, Tim. But
Louis says that's the question of the day, Tim. So there you go. One question. Hardest part of being a dad?
The hardest part for me is there is no other job that displays your shortcomings as quickly as being a father.
Mm.
And if you really want to see your shortcomings, say, my child will never do that. That will be the biggest thing. That.
Right.
But for me, the hardest part is watching my kids, their lives, and then realizing that part of those lives are reflected in me, and just going back and trying to understand if I had lived a life that was worthy of the ancestry side of things.
I think it's, so I said earlier that you can't discipline and instruct your kids the same way, and yet I still try to do it. I still try to get both kids into the cookie cutter, and so often the way that I approach Arya is like whole new because she's doing things that Taya never did. And so what worked for Tay is not working for Arya, but it doesn't stop me from trying to like shove her in that cookie cutter, you know, be like your older sister, which I know for me growing up, that I hated hearing that of my younger brother. Be like your older brother. Don't be like me. That's not good. But like, yeah, I trying to keep them as individual and approach them as such, that's probably the hardest part for me. And just knowing that they are two radically different kids.
Yes, the statement of that's not fair does not apply with children.
No.
Because if fairness applied, then they would all be the same, and they're not. And
yeah.
So actually being fair sometimes is the worst thing to do because some children may need more.
Yeah.
And less in other areas. And so how can you be fair? Hmm. If you're fair, you're not giving them everything they need.
Okay, next question. What is one time where you had to choose humility over reacting harshly?
Mm. Well, it's actually apologizing to the kids. I remember coming home, being angry about whatever happened in that day, and then the kids did something to set me off. And I remember laying the rules down and tying into them and all that kind of stuff. And my wife pointing out and saying, yeah, that wasn't called for.
Mm.
And I had to go back and apologize. And that was a very humbling experience to go back, because you are the leader of the house. You are the one that's supposed to guide. How can your children learn that they need to apologize for stuff if you can't do it with them?
Yeah, I think of how many times it never fails that when you come home from being at work and you're sore and you're tired, that's when they want a rough house. And even though my girls are very small, they seem to know my pressure points. If I hit dad right here, I'm going to get a reaction. And I have not always reacted well in those scenarios. And nothing, I think as a dad, so I know this is going to be the ultimate, like, wrapped around pinky story right here. But nothing gets me upset as when I have spoken out of line and my girls are crushed because of it. And it's just like, I will conquer the world for you to make you stop crying right now because you're... Because there's such a big difference between when they mess up and they've been disciplined and they're crying, and when you mess up and they're crying, it's like, oh, I am. So that whole humility over harsh is still, I'm still refining that one right now.
Well, and for me, lots of times, I remember being a teenager, and the world was very black and white, and there was right and wrong, and you look at your parents and what they've done, and it's like, that is so wrong as a teenager. And then the humbling side of it is you become a parent yourself, and all of a sudden, all of the feelings and the thoughts and the intentions that my father had when he was telling me this suddenly appear to you because you're now the example. You're now the person dealing with that, and you're going, wow, maybe my dad wasn't so wrong. He actually probably was right at that moment, but as a teenager, it was hard to admit to.
Okay, next question. What would you tell dads who feel like they have messed up their relationship with their kids?
That one, you know what? God the Father. We have messed up our relationship so many times with him, and he just stands there, his arms open wide, waiting to celebrate us coming back. So if you think you've messed up, go back to them. Like, we have to extend that love to our children. And if we mess up, go back, do the apology thing, because that's really tough. But dads, you have to be part of your kids' lives. Mm-hmm. It matters that much, because God the Father is part of our life. And we know, as people who have been accepting of the God the Father, we know the love that's come to us. Mm-hmm. We have to share it with our own children. And if we think we messed up, you know what? We're children. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this fathering thing, we're all children. So we're going to mess up.
Yeah. Anything on top of that, if, like Darren said, you know, fatherhood is the most worthwhile and sometimes the hardest, but the most important thing that we can do. And if we're like a dad, I'm speaking to the dads of adult children that their kids are so upset that they just don't want anything to do with you anymore. If being a dad is worth the time of just constantly reaching out, because I just think of how God never stops pursuing us. No matter how much we push him away, no matter how far we feel or how much we've just kind of gone our own way, God never stops pursuing us until we get to that point where we just surrender ourselves to him. And I think as a dad, if you've made mistakes and you feel like you've been separated from your kid and you want to repair that relationship, it's going to take time, it's going to take grace, it's going to take love, but it is worth every minute of just going back, going back, going back. And it might be some harsh things coming back. It might be some tough conversations. And it might be a lot of humility saying, yeah, I know I did that wrong, but my relationship with you is worth working through that. And just that's my big encouragement, is that if you feel that way, it is worth mending it, no matter how many times, no matter what it takes. It is worth going back and doing it.
It goes back to teaching our children. And if the only thing you can teach your children is that you apologize for the things you've done as a father, that has to be where we start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so this is actually kind of a follow-up question. What are some ways to repair broken father-adult-children relationships? So I wonder if this is from the other perspective, from, like, mm-hmm. the kid trying to repair with the father, because, yeah. Because I kind of addressed the first one, but what about the other way, I guess?
Well, I go back to my own relationship with my own father, and there was times where we were heading in different directions, and I think basically the only thing that really saved us is that we ended up having a heart-to-heart conversation, and I was able to explain my perspective and why I was going to be heading out the door if it didn't change. Mm-hmm. And this was, and it was I'll never forget it, it's on my deck about 10 o'clock at night, having a heart-to-heart with my father about what I thought he had, the mistakes he had made, and where I was going to draw the line if they didn't change. And it's not perfect, and it takes time, and there's, you got to risk mm-hmm. some things, but if you can have that conversation, at least you start. You may only get so far. But if you actually get a chance to, it did as much good for my perspective to be able to share my side of it. Right. But then the side effect was I got to hear a little bit of his side. Mm-hmm. And to go that way, my dad wasn't one of those ones that showered you with love and affection and kisses. That wasn't it. And so there was lots of things that we had to work through, but mm-hmm. we had to start the conversation. We started that conversation because I was mad and I was leaving.
Right.
And what he had done was admittedly by him unfair or not right. Mm-hmm. And we got to work through that because of a on the deck conversation at 10 o'clock at night that I'm sure the neighbors probably heard quite a bit of it too. So,
I think to add, I don't have experience to base this off of. I just have, because I've always had a great relationship with my dad. But I guess my big encouragement would be to come at it from a place of honor, right? Like I know, like to love your dad and to have that relationship and repair that brokenness, but it to come back at it from a place of honoring him because of what God has taught us about honoring our dads and honoring our parents and like praying for them. I don't, like, obviously without knowing all the details, but I so many times broken relationships start with prayer because it changes. It doesn't necessarily change them. It changes our approach to them. And we, as we pray good things over them, we take that position of honor, we take that position of love and affection, and without even realizing it, we're changing so that when that conversation comes, it goes very differently than maybe it would have any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I...
To honoring as well, you have to realize that the one thing, when we talk about father being a word given in ancestry, that means there was input that went into that as well. We know that we've inputted into our children's lives. To honor your father is not to say that he was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that he didn't make mistakes. That, hey, hand up here, I could write a book on my mistakes. But we also have to realize that we're a product of our ancestry. Sometimes there is reasons beyond your relationship that things happen this certain ways. Like, my dad was not perfect,
mm-hmm.
but he also wasn't one to lay a lot of affection on me. But when I look back and honoring him, he did it his best based on what his experience was.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't not feel loved. But in honoring him, did he make mistakes? Yes, we all do. We're human.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to honor him by saying, you know what? He's a product of what happened in his life as well.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you're going to be a father, you're going to be judged by the same rules.
Yeah.
So.
I will give it 30 seconds. Anybody else want to throw out a question or... apparently my comment about mom and dad making it clear where the door is sparked a comment because they had to point out the fact that I was always welcome home, which, yes, I know. I knew I was always welcome to come home, but yes, apparently I need to qualify my my comments.
Well, yes, we all know what our children are like, and sometimes that welcoming them home brings back. You want to see children act this like they're 12 years old again? Put all the siblings in the same room with mom and dad, and old dynamics come back.
So
they're welcome back, but there can be growth on both sides.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't see anything else coming in, so I will just close it off by saying, you know, if you have any other questions, don't hesitate. You can get a hold of me at matt@onechurch.ca or darren@onechurch.ca. You're always available for questions. Oh, we did get a question in. Never fails. How do you handle a relationship with your dad when he doesn't know God the Father?
There we go. Again, that is an example by life. If you live your life in such a way that your father can see what your relationship with God the Father means in your life, then you can, by example, demonstrate that knowledge to him. And you'll be surprised. We notice when something good is happening as human beings. We know that that person's changed. There's fundamentally something different about them. So if they don't know God the Father, then we are the example that they should see. We are so close as family that we should be the biggest example of what a relationship with God the Father should be. And a lot of people are resistant, but you cannot not acknowledge the good in someone's life. Mm-hmm. We see it all.
And I think it's that whole being willing to share and trusting that when the moment is right and you're having that relationship or that talk with your dad, just trusting that God's Spirit is going to give you the right thing to say at the right moment. But yeah, exactly. You said just being consistently on fire for him and just consistently living it out, speaking God's truth, and just being identified as, you know, radically transformed by God's love. All that always speaks volume, no matter if it's your dad, your friend, your coworker, whatever. There should be something radically different, and it should be something that is attractive. And those opportunities will come. We know that, and again, when it comes to people coming to know the Lord, we know that God is doing way more of the work than we are. Like, our witness is big, and our stories are big, and what we say is big, but God is working behind the scenes in ways that are unseen and unknown, and we just have to trust that at the right moment, all of God's work on this person, and all, particularly your dad, all of God's work and all of your witness and testimony are going to culminate to this moment where you get to have that life-giving moment with your dad where you get to introduce him to Jesus as a Savior. And
yeah, we have to sow the seeds, whether we're there for the harvest or not.
Yeah.
And that's really tough with family, especially because as Christians, we want our families to understand and be a part of the salvation for the rest of their lives. Like, we want that for them. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult. But we're only called to sow the seeds. It may be someone else's job to water. It may be someone else's job to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But if we haven't started and did our part, the harvest doesn't come.
Right.
And that goes with family as well.
Yep. Well, that's, yeah, I was just thinking of a couple of scenarios where people have put in the work and somebody else has the harvest, but it's that recognition that everybody has their giftings and everybody has their moments, and we might put in the work, somebody else might reap the harvest, and that's good. The whole goal is to get the person to a relationship, so. A comment, not a question. So, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. Again, if you had any more questions, don't hesitate. Email me at matt@onechurch.ca, darren@onechurch.ca. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I hope you were blessed by the conversation and the questions and our answers. If you like the, again, if you liked what you see, like the page, subscribe to YouTube, tune in, don't miss anything else we put up. But God bless you guys. Again, blessing on the fathers. Happy Father's Day, and have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.